Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wines. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
Yeah, what's happening, mate?
Well, it's not a beautiful day here. It's a little rainy, a little overcast, but we in the farming business, Peter, need rain, but at certain times of the year. And of course, this year we didn't get it when it was required, and yep. then we've been getting it regularly since it's no longer required. So,
mate, when you didn't get it, does that dwarf the crop in any way?
Well, we have irrigation here, drip irrigation, but it requires a lot of water. It does. Look, Peter, we've talked many, many times, all plants like rain.
Sure.
Drip irrigation is really a poor substitute because the roots come to the surface and they migrate towards the drip. And that makes for very poorly stabilized and it's just not a healthy situation. When you have regular rain, the roots spread out and they go down and look for water. So, but before we get too far here, Peter, I just want to check something with you.
Sure.
I'm videoing, I'll get the right frame here, this broadcast, because I want to talk about a subject I think that a lot of people are interested in. And if we agree at a later date, after we've finished the program, I'd like to put YouTube together and get it up on YouTube as well. Because what I'd like to talk about is the disaster grants. And I call it a sham program that the government's come up with. And I'd like to talk about some of those things on air today and then spread them a little bit further, because there are many, many farmers that are in desperate situation, and the government's programs, mostly smoke and mirrors to make them look good, Peter, to the 85% of voters that live in cities that finally have some sort of sympathy for farmers. Normally they don't think about it too much, although I think there's been a fair bit of sympathy and empathy about the drought and then of course the bushfires. So the government of course did nothing for the longest period of time. Then they came up with a little type of aid program, and then they increased it. But Peter, the problem is it's the conditions of those grants. And so if you don't have any objections, I am videoing it, but I can destroy that video if you object to it. But after we're finished with the program and talking about it, maybe we can discuss it then.
All right, mate. Yeah, I don't see any problem with that. It looks like from where I'm sitting, that they're actually sitting on their hands.
Well, here's the problem, Peter. It's to satisfy the electorate that they appear to be doing something. And the electorate in Australia is city people. We are the most citified, or more people live in cities in Australia than any other country in the world besides city states. So 85%, and I just pulled that out of my hat, but 85% of Australians live in cities. And therefore, the government doesn't have to satisfy farmers or anybody in the country. They only have to satisfy people that live in cities. So they don't actually have to do anything concerning farmers for those 85% of the people that live in the city, Peter. They only have to look like they're doing something. And that's exactly what they've done. They've come up with a program called a disaster grant to help farmers. Number one, it does not apply if you lose your crop. Can't get a penny, Peter.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, number two, if your business suffered severely and you had no sales, and I'll expand on that in a minute, can't get a penny, Peter. What you can get is, you can get a subsidy for hiring labor or equipment to clean up a mess. Okay, that's the first thing. If you've got to hire somebody, you can get assistance for their labor cost. Okay, so assumably, you've got something that burnt down or whatever, and they'll help you, give you a little pittance to hire somebody to take it away. Disposal of damaged goods, Peter. Woo, big one, yeah. Repairing a building, as long as that building is used, for your farming operation, like useful. It's nothing to do if you lose your house or anything like that, that you don't apply. You don't satisfy the requirement, Peter. repairing fencing. Well, Peter, all fencing steel these days. It doesn't burn. Okay, maybe some horse farms, you know, some stables use wooden fences, but farmers don't. Reconditioning essential equipment or repairing it. Well, most equipment is mobile. Some of it's not, like pumps or things like that, but you know, you move it. So it, look, it goes on. Health assessment, Peter. It just goes on and on and on. But let me give you an example. We're located here in the Hunter Valley, and there's I've heard various figures, up around 250 vineyards in the Hunter Valley. We all essentially lost our grape crop this year because of smoke taint. Okay, yep. So they were not, we harvested a small amount and appeared to taste okay, but according to the experts, if there is smoke taint, it doesn't show up. Thank you, I just got a cup of coffee here, and since I'm doing a video, Peter. you know, they say, the experts, that smoke taint doesn't show up for a period of time. The smoke produces some type of chemical that combines with the sugar, and until the sugar is fermented, like to make wine, it doesn't release it. And when it does release it, apparently it doesn't give it a smoky taste, gives it a taste that's more like a stale ashtray. So, the general wisdom in the Hunter was not to harvest, and I think that's pretty much what happened. On top of that, for 4 months, we were immersed in smoke here. Coming from Sydney, the Gosper Mountain fire took 3 months to get here, Peter, but the winds bring the smoke all the time. The Kerry Ridge fire, you know, started nearly 100 kilometers from here, took 3 months to get here. It got here, down the road here, but we got the smoke all the time. So the vineyards in the Hunter had a severely reduced visitation. So their business was way, way down. Do you think that that is eligible for support, Peter? I'll give you one guess.
I'd say no.
Yes, and you'd be right. No. There was a big article in the Argus newspaper about some of the big guys, McWilliams Wine, some of the biggest wine companies in Australia. They went into receivership. They're staggering and they're going out of business, Peter. They lost 100% of their crop, and McWilliams has, of course, wineries in many other areas, but I'm talking about even large wineries around here, leave alone the small guys, Peter. They lost 100% of their crop, and they had no business at the cellar door to sell wine. Okay, so now, that's the first thing, Peter. Okay, smoke and mirrors. Okay, nothing applies here in the Hunter Valley. The other thing is, if you think you can apply to them, say, oh, I'm a farmer, you know, I want to apply for this grant. Oh, no, you're not. You're a small business, Peter, despite the fact...
Oh, for goodness sake.
Despite the fact that probably 90% of the vineyards in the Hunter Valley, all except one or two big guys, a few big guys, nobody has a winery. Some don't even have a cellar door, but nobody has a winery. So the only thing we have on the property is a small cellar door and, of course, the grapes.
Yeah.
But this, despite the fact that we send the grapes out and we have it made into wine and bottled, and it's stored somewhere else often, as it is in our case, we're a small business, Peter. We're not farmers. We're a small business.
Getting all the grapes off, that's not farming.
That's not farming. No, it's not farming, Peter.
I think this they're is the fudging. That reminds me of the old marbles game. You know, you're fudging?
Yes, this is smoke and mirrors. The government is spending so much. You talk to the average property owner here, they have probably spent 50 hours on the telephone with various people that administer these programs to be taught to be told that they don't apply, Peter, that they don't qualify. The only increase in employment that's happened is all the government people that have to deal with all the farmers and small business people that call to be told they don't qualify. Okay, so it's clear, if you, and this is not just in the Hunter, Peter, this is everywhere, okay, that this has happened. So if you're out somewhere, you know, even if you're a wheat farmer and you lost your crop, due to bushfire. And you're in a designated disaster area, Peter. The government designates you a disaster area, as we are in. We're all designated disaster. But that means nothing. It's a government smoke and mirrors program. So finally they tell you, look, you're not a farmer. You know, you might produce grapes and turn them into wine. You're a small business. And so you go to the small business one, Peter. There's a disaster grant for small business. And you know what it covers? Payment for tradespeople to conduct safety inspections. That's number one, okay, that it's applicable to the grant. Number two, equipment and materials required for cleanup. Okay, you go on and on. There's nothing, Peter, about you know, losing your harvest. That it specifically excludes any consideration for loss of income. Okay, and it just goes on and on, Peter. You can spend hours, I mean hours, filling out forms and talking to government people. Firstly, you know, I don't know where they live, probably in Sydney or Melbourne or somewhere, probably can't even spell farm, Peter, and they spend they spend an hour telling you you're not a farmer, okay? So it just, look, it boggles the mind, but look, it's brilliant from the government's point of view. They don't have to do anything except put up the appearance of helping, and that's all they've done. They just put up the appearance of it. And they've satisfied 85% of their electorate. Look what the government's doing. Isn't it fantastic? You know, they're helping all these farmers. And they're not. They're not doing anything. And so, anyway, Peter, that's what I want to do. I'm going to put it together on a YouTube and get it up so that more than you and I, you know, will become aware and familiar with what's going on in this entire program, Peter.
Sure. Understood.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll get back to the regular program, Peter.
Mate, I think we should, and we should get people to come out to your farm. And is it a farm or a small business? I can't remember. I can't remember which door to walk in.
If it's a small business, Peter.
Pardon me.
If it's a small business, by Jesus, small.
Yes, I know, particularly the little stash you have there. Have you got a cash register? I mean, most small. I'm getting very confused here. We really need to get people to pop into the cellar door and taste for themselves just how good it is.
As you know, our cellar door, we don't have a cellar door building, as many, many vineyards in the Hunter don't. We have a dedicated area in the homestead. We're in the most beautiful bar. It's very small, but it's made out of recycled teak wood from Indonesia, Peter.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I picked up at an old sale. But most of we do have a lot of seating. We can seat over 100 people here, but we do it outside under the silk tree and in the orchard and under the sun sails. And that's where we do most of our wine tasting.
You want to have a run with Buddy around the pool?
Yes, Buddy's in purgatory again, Peter. He's been chasing sheep again. So he's Yeah, I just got a muzzle. I'm going to have to muzzle him. You know, he can chase him, but he can't do anything. I think he'll stop chasing if he can't grab them. So, but anyway, Peter, there was some interesting things, and one's very interesting and important, I think, that we need to get before our listeners. And there's a new study that's associated dairy milk with greater risk of breast cancer.
Yeah, I noticed that on the news the other day.
Yes, it's and it's actually quite severe. Even one cup a day of milk can increase your likelihood 50%, Peter.
And well, that's amazing, because breast milk contains certain things to, well, basically program your body. If you don't have that, well, then you're susceptible to something else.
Yes, and I tell you, clearly, children require, breastfeeding, and they require milk. But according to this study, once you've passed that point, Peter, milk is not that healthy for you. And if you drink more than one cup, your risk of breast cancer increases by 80%.
Oh, heck, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, well, you have to learn to drink black coffee, Peter.
Yeah, that's true. Are we allowed to say that? I think being politically correct, here's another crap statement for you. It's coffee without cream. We're not allowed to say black coffee anymore.
Oh, I get you. Okay. But anyway, I love milk, and I drank milkshakes all my life, and unfortunately, I had breast cancer, Peter.
Yeah, I could say something there, but I won't.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those rare statistics, Peter, that, you know, men, of course, don't suffer from it very often. It was in my family, unfortunately, so I'm fully recovered now, but and I'm taking all these natural cures, Peter, so... I didn't take any chemo. I don't believe in a lot of that stuff, but we do have a lot of natural remedies that we've been doing. But it's interesting because, you know, you don't know what to relate it to, family history, of course, but this is, you know, quite an interesting study because percentage is already quite high of women that get breast cancer. And so it nearly doubles if you're a milk drinker. And of course, it doesn't mention cheese, this article, Peter. So, and this came out of Loma Linda University. So it's a, you know, it's a top research institution. So don't know what to say, Peter. Love milk all my life, drank it all my life. But, you know, when you start to look at some of these statistics, and then, you know, when I read this, I thought to myself, geez, Peter, did they separate organic milk from non-organic milk?
Probably not.
Not, yeah, because, see, milk, the way the law is, and what farmers or, you know, not farmers that are practicing good policy, but what a lot of farmers do, I've seen it myself when we lived up in the New England, when they're going to put in an improved pasture, they let the grass and the weeds grow long, then they spray it with Roundup, then they put the cattle on immediately, because if they wait a day, the Roundup kills it, okay, the grass and the weeds and that, and they don't get the full food value to feed the stock. And so there's nothing in the law that stops them from doing that, Peter, and that's what they do.
So you get your cattle and your milk with Roundup included.
Comes just the way, you know, just the way the farmer does it. And I know a lot of farmers won't do that, but I've seen, in fact, I questioned it. I saw when I was in a property up in the New England, went in there, and there were cows and sheep and everything. It was quite a large paddock. It was probably, I don't know, 50 acres or something like that. And there was, you know, like 5,000 head of stock in there.
What?
Yeah, and I asked the guy, what's going on? He said, oh, I just sprayed it, you know, and there was a lot of feed in there because he'd only just put it in. He'd grown the grass, you know, high enough so that the Roundup would kill it easily, and he put all his stock in there to get the feed value before the Roundup killed it all, Peter. So this is
goodness sake.
I know. You know, so that was what immediately came to my mind when I read this. It's suspect to me, you know, that they don't separate chemically, you know, contaminated, potentially contaminated food from non-chemically contaminated, because I'm quite sure that has an effect. We've seen effects ourselves, Peter, in research articles. You know, 30-40% we've seen differences in various cancers and cardiovascular things between those that have a diet that tries to avoid these types of chemicals and those that have a diet that don't. Especially that big study that came out of France that we talked about some time back, and maybe we should bring it back again, where the statistics were astounding.
Yep.
The difference between diseases of people that ate healthily and those that didn't.
Well, you know, you've led me down the right track, and I now enjoy, of course, organic wine. I enjoy organic food, and I'm feeling a lot better. I know people will say, oh, that's rubbish. You're only saying it because you know him. I'm saying it because it's true.
Yes, well, you can fix them. Not that we would want to waste our wine on non-believers, Peter, but you can fix it by having a what we used to call when I went to university, a boat race with them, and they can drink regular wine, you can drink organic wine, Peter, and see who feels the best the next day.
Headaches galore if you've got endocrine disruptors and a few other things. Mate, we've got to get them to your website. That's really important.
Yes, cellarwines.com.au. Go online or call us here at the Vineyard, 657-45275. So I love to see people. We've got no more smoke, Peter. We've had lots of people to the Vineyard in the last period of time. And we've had a lot of people call and say, you know, they've been following us and, you know, following things. And, you know, it's been a terrible time for Australia, terrible time for Australia's farmers. And the government's, got this window dressing now to make themselves look good, but doesn't deliver anything.
Not worth it, mate. Absolutely not worth it.
No. Okay, so anyway, Peter, there was one other little thing that I think was worth mentioning very quickly. There was an article that came out. They have now found that people that suffer from ulcerative colitis, and there are millions of people that do, are missing a group of bacterias.
Yeah. Yes,
people that have this are missing a set of bacterias, family of bacteria they call it. People that don't get it have this family of bacteria, and people that suffer from it. And I was thinking when I said that, you have to marry somebody that has the right bacteria and then do a lot of deep French kissing, I think, Peter.
If this is a breakfast program.
So you got to show your bacteria. But so if you've got ulcerative colitis, look for somebody that doesn't, right?
Fair enough. Mate, it's lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, and we'll catch up with you next week, Peter.
Sure will. That's, okay. Of course, Jeff from acellawines.com.au. Don't just sit there. Jump on the website and have a look. See what we've been talking about.